Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are now listening to True Murder, the most shocking killers in true crime history, and the authors that have written about them. Gacy, Bundy, Dahmer, The Night Stalker, BTK. Every week, another fascinating author talking about the most shocking and infamous killers in true crime history. True Murder, with your host, journalist and author, Dan Zupansky.
Good evening. Melinda Kula is very familiar with the Secret Santa and the many links that tie him to JonBenet Ramsey. Each link is carefully explained within this book to lead from one connection to the next between JonBenet and the Secret Santa. Follow the pieces of the puzzle to find out who this Secret Santa is and how this chameleon was able to evade the authorities. Included within is a pair of government-generated documents for the same man under different aliases, assumed names. This alone should raise a red flag for authorities. The same individual also used a term of endearment common to the Ramsey family for JonBenet in front of his peers and classmates at a karate school. When asked if he was related to that girl found in the basement, he responded with, "I don't know no Johnny B." No one knew this term of endearment until it was used in the book The Death of Innocence by John Ramsey. Planned murder indicates that the killer knew the victim's schedule. Overkill is usually a message intended for someone else, other than the victim. Who was the overkill message intended for and why? DNA phenotyping can be used to help generate an image of the killer's face, which may match up with some of the images found within this book, raising some serious questions. The true name of the Secret Santa is listed on Detective Lou Smith's suspect list. There is a list of people to contact at the end of the book should you see this Secret Santa. Report his whereabouts to the proper authorities. Corruption and lack of cooperation on the part of the authorities had held back much of this information for far too long. That is why she has compiled the list of links to send out to the public so that they may decide for themselves if the information found within warrants interest and possibly an arrest. Perhaps together we can finally bring an end to this case and justice for JonBenet Ramsey. The book that we're featuring this evening is Secret Santa, My Murderer, The True JonBenet Completed Puzzle, with my special guest, activist and author, Melinda Kula. Welcome to the program and thank you for this interview, Melinda Kula.
Thank you, Mr. Zupansky, for giving an ear and an audience to JonBenet as well as other homicide victims. It's our job to tell the truth. I can tell you this, since the 9/11 terrible tragedies, there's posters everywhere. See it, say it. If you see something that's wrong, you suspect something, you're supposed to report it. If not, then you become culpable in the outcome of tragedies. I'm trying not to become culpable in the outcome of the tragedy of this child.
Let's go to 1996. Take us back for people to understand what JonBenet had told four persons. Tell us what JonBenet had said regarding Secret Santa. Tell us about these conversations before we talk about who you found out to be the Secret Santa.
Children are never heard. Everyone wants them to go away. But JonBenet told a friend of hers, and that information was just made available very recently. This friend announced that JonBenet, when they were young, told her, she was very excited, Santa's coming again after Christmas. But the child... well, Santa was here. you know, Santa's coming again after Christmas with a present, but it's a secret. It's a secret visit. This child just now, recently, within the last couple of weeks, came forward with that information because now she's 26 years older and she realized the importance of what JonBenet told her dear friend when they were both 6 years old.
You cite three other people that were also told about this Secret Santa. What kinds of things specifically did JonBenet say and to who?
The Santa at Fleet White's party, that Santa was accustomed to being there for the Fleet White family. So everyone was familiar with that Santa. That was the second Santa for JonBenet. JonBenet's family's Santa, Mick Reynolds, was Santa number one. So as this party is winding down at Fleet White's house and Priscilla's, JonBenet is thanking Santa, and Santa is hoping she enjoyed all her presents. JonBenet told that Santa, Santa number two, she's expecting another Santa after Christmas, but it was a secret Santa, and he's going to bring her yet another present. Santa number two, I'm not sure if he became a little annoyed that she might be greedy or didn't understand she was speaking her truth. Santa's coming again after Christmas because that Santa told her he has already been here at your home and here I am. So he wondered why she was expecting another Santa. In the evening when everyone was leaving, I believe that JonBenet told Priscilla White, Santa's coming again after Christmas. When Papa, John Ramsey, tucked his child in bed, somewhere along the line over these past 26 years, someone pointed out that she also told her father while he's tucking her in, and she wakes up just a moment or two and she's excited because even though she's sleepy and it's been a long day, Santa is coming again after Christmas. The child who's now 26 years older, that is recent. That is a young lady who knows what she heard from this precious six-year-old friend of hers. The other Santa, I don't know that he's still alive from the Fleet White party. And for Priscilla, she may remember that, but certainly I would think a father would remember the words that his daughter has to say about a secret Santa after Christmas.
You read about the groundskeeper and what JonBenet had said to the groundskeeper regarding Secret Santa.
Yes. Her conversation with the groundskeeper stemmed from her coming to him and she was crying. And this I had read somewhere. She approached him, she was crying. He wanted to know why she was crying. After all, it's Christmas. You've opened your presents, you've visited with Santa, you have a brand new bike. Why would you be crying on Christmas? Probably he's thinking as a young man himself, did someone hurt her? Did she fall? What's wrong? And she said to him, I wish my father was around more often. So at that moment, I'm feeling as if she's not seeing her father as the bad guy. I wish my father was around more often. And why does love hurt? Why does love hurt? That was the second comment. Why would a six-year-old even make such a statement? Is it because the secret Santa who visited every Christmas Eve hurt her while he's in costume? Is that a possibility? The answer is yes.
Let's get back to what the neighbor heard later after this. And again, we're not going to go into what happened on that morning, the police arrival and the mishandling of this case, the gross mishandling of this case right from the very beginning of the investigation. But let's talk about what police do find in terms of a neighbor that comes forth and has something to say that they witnessed in terms of a scream and also an eyewitness report that they gave to police. Tell us what they said to police in terms of this description and what they heard and when.
Okay, that is such an important point because the neighbor across the street heard after midnight or at midnight a scream of a child, the most heart-wrenching scream she had ever heard in her entire life. This scream came definitely, in her opinion, from across the street, from the Ramsey's home. That tells us that at midnight, JonBenet is still alive because she's the one that screamed. Now, later, that same witness who's hearing the scream and is wondering what's going on across the street, that same witness saw at 5 p.m., okay, now we're into the next day, the day after Christmas,
right,
where John and Patsy are leaving their home at 5 to go to the Fleet White party. But the neighbor is saying goodbye. She has their dog. She sees a man coming from the left, walking straight to John's house. There's a good chance that the person walking straight to John's house and cutting, as you're looking at the front of the house over to the left corner, watched John and Patsy pull away because of the timing. So this curious woman saw the image of the man, knows that he was, you know, maybe 5'6", maybe 130 pounds, what jacket he was wearing, that he, with intention, walked toward the house and off to the left corner. That would be, by the way, the same corner where if you lift up the grate and slide into the room, it would be that corner. Later, when the police were there to find out about the kidnapping, which, as you know, turned into a murder, he is there at running away from the house. That same man is running away from the house, from the back, and then back to the direction he came from. And this woman is watching him run away from the house while the authorities are in the house, probably looking for him. Now they realize this is not a kidnapping, this is a murder. So she had turned around and stopped one of the local officers in front of her home, like in between the two streets. And she said, there is a man running away from the house. This is what he looks like, but he is the same man that at 5 o'clock in the evening approached the house and that front left corner. So it's the same man at five who is running away now. Maybe someone could go catch up with him and find out who he is and why is he here and why is he running away from the house when the house is loaded with police officers. She said no one paid attention to her. No one pursued that individual.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the most important thing that you bring to this story, obviously, is your interaction with this person you believe is the primary suspect, Bill Ramsey. First off, tell us who Bill Ramsey is, just officially, and then let's take our audience back to the karate school. And in July 1996, you write that your husband is involved in this karate school as an adult student, and your son is involved as a child student at this AKC karate school. Tell us what this karate school is, who the instructor is. Tell us a little bit about your son being there. Tell us, give us a background about this karate school and why you're all there. And then what happens one day? Who do you meet?
There's two karate schools, and we should always call them karate school number one, the original school that Bill Ramsey and his two friends participated in Manahawkin, New Jersey. That's karate school number one. Let's call it the negative school. Karate school number two, the one my husband and son attended. Franklin was 5.5 years old. He's in the child's class. Tom's in the adult class with other adult males and females. That's karate school number two, Parkinson Bay Karate School. The owner is Brian Parkinson. That was in Weartown, New Jersey, which is now the Weartown Post Office. This is where I met a man, and his name was Bill Ramsey. Bill Ramsey and his two friends came together at the Parkinson Bay Karate School. Bill Ramsey's presence was very strongly felt because of his attention to the children and then his aggressive nature with the adult males, especially after he returned from JonBenet's murder situation. Bill Ramsey is 5'6". He's 130 pounds soaking wet. To describe him is very easy. Think of Charles Manson, this man standing right next to Charles Manson, and you probably wouldn't be able to tell them apart in height, in build, in weight, in the way they look in appearance. No disrespect to either one of them, but you're looking at someone very, very similar to Charles Manson. Bill Ramsey's sitting on the bleachers, high on the bleachers. There's one bleacher that kind of helps the karate instructor to keep the adults away from the children during the children's class. Bill was angry, and this is where he really got my attention. Bill was very, very angry because on the wall where Bill always sat high on the bleacher, to his right was a wooden karate training sword. It was a very ornate piece of carving. It can be used as a sword. It can inflict danger, but it was intended as a unique gift, one of a kind, for the owner of the school, given to Mr. Parkinson, Sensei Parkinson, by an appreciating customer, client. It always hung on that wall. Bill Ramsey is all about wood, and that's something we should all remember. My son, because he did very well in obtaining his white belt, now remember, he's a very active little boy, 5.5 years old, asked the karate instructor, since he won his white belt, could he please run up the bleacher, grab the sword? He'll be very, very careful, but he just wanted to see it and handle it. Mr. Parkinson gave him permission. Franklin ran up the bleachers behind Bill Ramsey, grabbed the sword off the wall, jumped down from the bleachers. It was only about 5-6 steps. As he's playing something that would be like Zorro, Power Rangers, he's just swinging the sword around, pretending to be able to train himself how to use it better. Not anyone in sight of him. No one was in danger. The karate instructor was keeping an eye on that. All of a sudden, Bill Ramsey jumps off the bleacher, went after Franklin, ripped the sword from Franklin's hands, and thrusted it toward Franklin's abdomen. Franklin, because he had just finished workout, Franklin intuitively jumped back away from the point of the sword. It's a wooden sword. In that instant, I raced from the front of the school to Franklin, pushed him behind, grabbed the sword off Bill Ramsey, returned it to where it's supposed to be on the wall, told the instructor, get this man away from the children. He's a danger to the children. None of the children are his. Why is he here? And if he's here the next time, all parents will pull their children because I will pull mine. And the problem was resolved, we thought. That's Bill Ramsey.
Tell us a little bit more about this unique hand-carved, hand-painted miniature karate sword.
This sword, I had it in my own hands. It's only about 20 to 22 inches in length in that area. The sword had scrolled where you would put your hand, the hand grip. It had scrolled in gold the word Korea. Not made in Japan, made in China, made in Korea. No, no, no. Only just one word scrolled in gold paint, indicative of it being a one-of-a-kind and created for this instructor. The word Korea. Down the shaft of it on all sides was what one would think is just black lacquer swiggles, like little snakes. It wasn't. It was Korean lettering. The Korean lettering meant pride, integrity, that sort of thing. It also had splashes of other colors of paint, and it was sealed with a glistening lacquer. That's very, very important. It was sealed. This whole piece of wood artwork was sealed with a glistening lacquer. The reason why that's important is in the autopsy report, the coroner is very specific as to the explanation and detailing of the wooden stick, which everyone is calling a paintbrush handle. Whether it is or it isn't, I only know this. When he said the word Korea scrolled in gold paint, and then there were black swiggles of lacquer paint running up and down it, and a splash of multiple color paints, and it was sealed with a glistening lacquer. He basically described the sword I just described to you, sir. So not only that, but Mr. Stepanski, this is a man who loves wood, can turn wood into anything he absolutely wants to. So was that stick that completed the garage, was it from the paintbrush tray a handle, a paintbrush handle? I can tell you one thing I know about paintbrush handles. They are never, how much you spend on them, how little you spend on them, it's irrelevant. They're never sealed with a glistening lacquer. They're never. They don't have Korean words going up and down them. They don't have scrolls in gold, only one word, Korea. They have, yes, made in Japan, made in China. Yes, they have that, but not what was described as this miniature wood karate training sword. So sooner or later, we are going to connect what exactly was used to make the garrote.
Let's talk about his behavior. You mentioned that his behavior in the class was a concern to all the parents. And so they went to the instructor and tried to come up with some solution. So the adults were not, unless they were a guardian or parent of the child, they were not allowed to be at these classes. And the adults were only permitted to be at these classes 5 minutes, arrive only 5 minutes before their classes. So there was a separation between the children and having someone not connected to the children, say, for example, observing. In this interim from July to December, your husband was in these adult classes and other people communicated with this person that was in these classes as fellow karate devotee. What are the things that were said just before Christmas of 1996?
Mr. Stepanski, you just hit on the most important part of all of this. Bill came in, and it's rare that Bill Ramsey is in good spirits. Only one day that I know of, he announced to the karate instructor that he and his two friends are seasonal workers in construction. They didn't have the money to pay the tuition for the last couple of months. The karate instructor said, that's okay. When you get back to work, then you can just catch up. I know you're not going anywhere. He said, oh, no, no. I expect to collect $118,000 as an inheritance. And when I return from Boulder, Colorado, I will not only pay my delinquent tuition, but that of my two friends, Ed and Terry. And he said, well, that's okay. No pressure, but did somebody die? You used the word inheritance. Did someone die? He said, oh, no. He said, I visit my father every Christmas Eve for a large sum of money. It sustains me for a year. And then I go back the next pharmacy for that year's inheritance. Nobody died. And the karate instructor, Mr. Brian Parkinson, said, oh, okay, I was concerned because you used that one word, inheritance. He said, no. The other thing that took place was when anyone, the men or the children, would earn a belt, rightfully so, everybody else would cheer them on. Another adult male, right? Another adult male said to him, you know, don't you have any family to be here for you and cheer you on and, you know, encourage you beside your two friends, Ed and Terry? Don't you have anybody? He said, no, I'm the black sheep of a wealthy family. They live out in Boulder, Colorado. I see them once a year. They can't be bothered with me other than give me money to stay away from them. And he was very angry. And he said, I hate children. I hate children. I hate my siblings. I hate women. And he just kind of used that moment to vent his anger toward a specific group. His siblings, because they were doted over, his words, not mine. They were doted over and all he gets is money once a year to get out of town and stay away for another year. Those were his words to different people in the karate class who happened to be standing around in a group encouraging one another to succeed in getting their next belt. So enough men in that karate class heard that. But more telling, besides the $118,000, before he ever left Ocean County, New Jersey, in this case, Weartown, New Jersey, before he ever left, and expressing his hatred for his siblings because they were doted over and women in general, and that he traveled to Boulder to receive money once every Christmas, considering all of that, when this man came back from Boulder, Colorado, after the murder of this child, he had not received the $118,000. And he was filled with rage and anger. And he only took it out on one person, my husband.
Let's go back to something that happened before his planned Christmas visit. I think it's very important if this was witnessed, and you write that it was. What was the footwear, the new footwear that Bill Ramsey came to the karate class wearing?
Oh my God, you are brilliant. He, prior to the trip, because he sat high in the bleachers and he always wore what I would call clothes of a pauper, if I may say so, and no disrespect, please. But all of a sudden, he's sitting on the bleachers, and since he sits high, you cannot miss the red logo. It's a type of a feathering, bright red Indian feathering, if you will. That's what I would explain it as. And the words high tech, H-I, dash, capital T, capital E, capital C. Because these very shiny footwear is new to his wardrobe, the men, especially the karate instructor, Mr. Brian Parkinson, encouraged him and commented in a very positive way, hoping that he would do the same with the rest of his wardrobe, like not look so Charles Manson-like. So they commented, and he said, well, it's cold where I'm going, and I needed this footwear, and so now it'll be easier for him to visit his father for the collection of his money. But please remember something, which I just found out recently, which is why I'm bringing it up right now. There is police issue items that were in the crime scene that to this day nobody can explain. The high-tech brand One footprint, one, in the dust next to JonBenet where she was found. That's a police-issued footwear. I didn't know that. I do know that now. Also, the mag flashlight. The mag flashlight that was found, and nobody has identified it as being theirs or somebody brought it in and just forgot about it. No. That is also police-issued. The mag flashlight is police-issued. Officers can use that to protect themselves if they're in a tough spot when they don't want to use their pistols and anything else for that matter. Mr. Bill Ramsey, he attended the first karate school, and this is very important. The first karate school was AKC Karate School, operated by Scott Razor, his true name, aka Tom Yobagi, his fraudulent name. So he operated the school under a fraudulent name. The reason he did that is he was a career pedophile. He'd been arrested in multiple states. Bill Ramsey and he formed an unusual, unhealthy friendship. Bill Ramsey built the loft over the karate school where the children in that class were being molested. Scott Razor, aka Tom Yobagi, went to prison for 53 counts of child molestation and other crimes against children, pleaded down to 9. That school taught the local police officers, only police officers, self-defense tactical training. And on the brochure, it said against foreign factions. The ransom note has the words foreign faction.
Animal.
Fox 5 Googled those words, and they said those two words together appears nowhere on any search engine. But they did in the brochure from AKC Karate School for police training only. I couldn't get in that class. You couldn't get in that class, sir. But Bill Ramsey did because he had friendship with the local police. when that karate school, Mr. Scott Razor, a.k.a. Tom Yobongi, went to prison for his criminal activity against his student children, then the local police had to shut down that school. They contacted Bill Ramsey and his friends and said, we have no need for the stun guns that are here and wooden sword or whatever else is here, the uniforms. If you want them, come take whatever you want. We are just instructed with closing down the school, emptying out the building. Bill Ramsey went there and obtained the stun guns. But prior to that, Bill Ramsey had a stun gun of his own that he used on Mr. Scott Razor's Doberman Pinscher. When the school was closed down, Bill Ramsey went to the second school, my husband and son's school, Parkinson Bay Karate, and he one day made the mistake of bringing the stun gun to the school. The instructor, Mr. Parkinson, was not pleased by any stretch of the imagination and said, what are you bringing a weapon to school? We don't use weapons in this school. And I don't want the children seeing that. And he said, well, I just brought it because I used it on my friend's Doberman Pinscher. And it took three strikes to get the dog down, to lay the dog down, make the dog unconscious. And now the karate instructor is livid. You used that weapon on a helpless, defenseless dog. Why was it so important for you to learn that it took three strikes to disable that vehicle? I mean, that dog. Why was that so important? And do you know that dogs, like people, have long memories? And he said, just take that out of here. And he was furious. So Bill Ramsey had not one stun gun. Now that the Scott Razor School was closed down, he had multiple stun guns. And he knew that it took three strikes to take down and disable this Doberman Pinscher. If you remember correctly, this is a time dimension, jumping back and forth, that JonBenet was struck at least twice, if not three times, but at least twice with a stun gun, side of her face and in her back area. And Detective Lou Smith, bless him, rest his soul, Detective Lou Smith, with a variety of experts, verified those were stun gun marks, not railroad track and pieces.
Let's use this as an opportunity to stop to hear from our sponsor. Despite what you may have read, this spring there will be a hiring boom for many industries, including e-commerce, healthcare, and surprise, the hospitality industry. One of the areas set to see the biggest growth is in service positions, managerial and back office operations positions. If you need to hire qualified candidates ASAP for any of these industries or any other industry, you need ZipRecruiter. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/murder. How does ZipRecruiter help you grow your team? By utilizing ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology to find the right qualified candidates for the exact role you have for them. When you spot a candidate who'd be perfect for your job, ZipRecruiter makes it easy to send them a personal invite, making them more likely to apply. ZipRecruiter also offers attention-grabbing labels that speak to job flexibility, like urgent, training provided, remote, and more. Let ZipRecruiter keep your team growing strong no matter what the industry. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to this exclusive web address to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/murder. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/MURDER. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now, continuing, we were talking about Bill Ramsey when he returns to this school. You talk about Bill Ramsey as a result of this investigation into the murder of JonBenet. Bill Ramsey changes his name. Tell us about what Bill Ramsey changes his name and when and how you are. What are the circumstances that you get involved in this case and what do you do?
Wow. Okay, here we go. Mr. Savansky. Bill Ramsey left to go to Boulder, Colorado. He was happy. He expected to collect, and it was a specific amount that he mentioned before he ever left, $118,000. It is that very amount that the authorities probably need to look at. Why did he know that amount, which is also in the ransom note? So he returned without the funds. He attacked my husband multiple times. My husband put a stop to it. My husband warned him the first time. It's just sparring. It's warming up. But he attacked my husband aggressively. The first time, my husband backed him off. He attacked my husband the second time. My husband backed him off and said, listen, I don't know what happened during your holiday, but you're not taking it out on me. Now, just behave yourself and stop it. We're only sparring up. If you want another partner, fine. And he went after my husband a third time. My husband is a gentle giant, a sweet little Polack who's 6'4" and 300 pounds. He means to hurt no one. He was in class to help him with his weight control. But my husband had already been struck twice by Bill Ramsey. So my husband did a palm strike, sent Bill Ramsey across the room. Bill Ramsey bounced off the wall, picked himself up. Now the other adults are looking at this man who's very embarrassed. Bill Ramsey's embarrassed because everybody saw this. Bill Ramsey's angry because he's now hurt. I am sure my husband hit him hard for him to roll across the school. Bill Ramsey is looking to the right, looking to the left. Bill Ramsey's heading out the door, turns around before he opened the door, before he left, and he said, yelling, everybody, from now on, do not call me Bill Ramsey. My name is Larry Rohn. Got it? Larry, R-O-H-N. Don't call me Bill Ramsey anymore. I will not answer you. And out the door, he storms. There is another meeting. There is another gathering. The next class, Bill comes in. He's quiet. He's not saying nothing to anyone. Now, that's his normal behavior. His body language is like, don't come near me, that sort of thing. Well, one of the other adults, not my husband, whose mother and father are FBI agents, and that's important. So this is a very smart man who I later found out is affiliated with the Ocean County Prosecutor's Office right here in New Jersey. He didn't like the name change. So he was poking the bear. When Bill came in, he said to Bill, hey, Billy boy, hey, Billy boy, do you know that little girl that was found dead in her basement? Are you related to that little girl? He didn't say JonBenet Ramsey. He didn't even say Boulder, Colorado. Just simply, are you related to the little girl that was found dead in her basement? Hey, Billy. Well, let me tell you what happened. Billy is now shuffling to the right, shuffling to the left, looking all over, trying to figure out, I'm guessing, what he's going to do at that moment. And Billy, who always likes to exit when he's stuck in a hard spot, turns around and bellows out, I don't know no Johnny B. Nobody knows Johnny B. And then he stormed out. And I was there and everyone else heard it. And we're all wondering, who's Johnny B? Isn't her name JonBenet Ramsey? JonBenet Ramsey, but not Johnny B. And I never forgot that. That stuck in my memory.
When did you read and get confirmation of that Johnny B? When did the light bulb go off to the importance of what he had said at that time, Johnny B? When did you come to the understanding what that meant?
Mr. Sapansky, that was not until many years later when John and Patsy wrote the book, Death of Innocence. It is in that book that is a term of endearment that within their home, John and Patsy both address their precious little girl as Johnny B, a derivative of John Bennett, her father, reduced to Johnny B, a pet name, if you will. That was many, many years later. So how come Bill Ramsey, in the earliest of stages of the murder investigation, we're talking less than a month? How is it that he knew that that child was addressed by her mom and dad as Johnny B when nobody knew until the book Death of Innocence by John and Patsy? Many years later, we didn't know. But how did he know?
How does this fit into your idea that the parents were indicted in 1999, I believe. And you say that basically there was seven charges, but two of the charges from the Boulder Daily Reporter, you say named Charles, that the indictments didn't lead to an arrest, but they could have, but it was never presented. The charges were never presented. So you say the charges were that they allowed the child to be in the vicinity of someone they knew that was dangerous, that likely resulted or did result in the murder of JonBenet. Now, given that information, how does this Secret Santa play into your entire idea of what happened and why that night?
Okay, this is a good time to tell the world that the book Secret Santa, My Murderer, was given to JonBenet's Secret Santa, My Murderer. All the backup information, absolutely every little crumb I could gather, that was given to, by special delivery, to the governor, Mr. Bill Owens, Governor Owens. Very good man, honorable man. It was also given to just before the grand jury announced their decision to Alex Hunter. They both, within less than a week of the grand jury announcement, received information, every crumb I had on Bill Ramsey's multiple aliases, two of which are government-generated documents. And I was hoping that they would at least use that information to solicit cooperation from John and Patsy. And in fact, Bill tried to. Governor Owens did try to. Terry Eyde, the attorney general, also has the same information. So it's not like I'm giving it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. No, I'm giving the information to the authorities in hopes that they will pursue it. So then here is Alex Hunter, only a few days fresh with having this information. He's receiving the decision by the courts that the grand jury wants to indict John and Patsy for allowing their child to be in the vicinity of someone who they knew in advance was very dangerous, resulting in the death of their child. Now, who are they talking about? In the home, Patsy John Burke. So were they talking about a nine-year-old little boy? I don't think so. Were they talking about the mother or the father? I believe the grand jury somehow, some way, remember, I wasn't there, but I believe somehow, some way, someone introduced the information about Bill Ramsey to the grand jury, because nothing else makes sense. So what Alex Hunter did is, when Alex Hunter receives this information written that they want to indict, that's when Alex Hunter said there's not enough information here to indict. Was he talking about the decision the grand jury made in reference to John Patsy or Burke? No, he wasn't. He was talking about the information he received about Bill Ramsey. That's what he was talking about. And when he said, we don't have enough information here to indict, he was talking about John Patsy for their knowledge about Bill Ramsey. That's the whole of it. And most people, if they don't have what you have, sir, they don't understand. And that's not their fault. Again, the original police who came to the home, if they did not know somebody comes there every Christmas Eve to collect a large sum of money, and his name is Bill Ramsey, a.k.a. William Lawrence Roan and all the rest of it, is it the police fault? Or maybe is it the parents holding back information, which does not give the authorities the full picture? That's my argument. That has always been my argument. Just collect Bill Ramsey's DNA. He's in North Carolina. He's using yet another alias. And if you don't want to listen to me for any reason whatsoever, look at the government-generated documents that are in JonBenet's Secret Santa, My Murderer. I did not make those up. He did. So why does this innocent man, if he thinks he's innocent and everybody else thinks he's innocent and irrelevant to the JonBenet murder, why does he keep changing his name, his appearance? When he returned from Boulder, he immediately changed his name. Yet again, Larry Roan is his new name. I have in the book his business card. He is a carver of wood. So I'm giving everybody proof of his different identifications. I gave them his government-generated police mugshot in Ocean County, New Jersey for assault and battery. That's under his first name, his true name, Bill Ramsey. Then you have the business card that he created when he returned. Then you have a recent from, I believe, 2019, his North Carolina CDL license under William Lawrence Roan. And now recently, within the last 6 months, he's using a different name altogether by just simply adding a different alphabet, Billy Rohan. So if he's not guilty of something, why does he keep changing his name? If he's not guilty of something, why did, when he returned from Boulder, did he immediately change the color of his originally black Ford Ranger pickup truck to the new color of blood red? It's a license plate number with JJW26D as in diamond. I'll tell you why. Because it wasn't in a car accident. He was afraid someone saw that black Ford Ranger pickup truck in the vicinity of JonBenet's home, parked somewhere where it didn't belong. They may not remember the truck, but by gosh, I believe they will remember it had New Jersey license plates. So when the law enforcement rightfully say someone brought up a black Ford Ranger pickup truck, New Jersey license plate, operative color black, but you come to New Jersey and the authorities are looking for a black Ford Ranger pickup truck, they're not going to find it. Why? Because its new color is red. He jumped from one residence to another, staying at each individual's home only for a week or two. And then he'd go someplace else to live, avoiding a paper trail or a place where he could be picked up. All of his changes, including shaving off his beard and his mustache, so now he has a clean shaven face, and pulling his hair back so tight that from, let's just say, 2 or 3 blocks away from him, you would think he was bald because he kept that ponytail so tight in changing yet his appearance in another way. Someone who's innocent, someone's not trying to hide from the authorities, does not do all of these things. And more importantly, prior to ever leaving to go to Boulder to collect his $118,000, the karate school, Parkinson Bay Karate School, was broken into. Only two things were stolen: the wood carving on the wall that Bill Ramsey coveted, and only his application to the karate school, because the karate instructor found the drawer was open and the file folder was cocked sideways. So he thumbed through it quickly to see what was missing. Bill Ramsey, and only Bill Ramsey's application, before he ever left New Jersey. Do you know what that tells me? That tells me he had plan B if he didn't collect his $118,000, and he did not want anything that would be able to be compared to the ransom note. So he removed his application, which had his handwriting sample on it. But Bill Ramsey does wood carvings. And I did send you a picture of one of his wood carvings of a Native American Indian man.
Yes.
Okay. On the back of that wood carving, Mr. Stepanski, if you look, it's a very short W and it ends high. It ends high, swing high, I-L-L, and it ends with a hangman's noose.
Yes.
That's what you're seeing. Mr. Stepanski, any artist worth their salt, whether they're painting or they're making clay, pottery, or what have you, they sign their full name. Bill Ramsey can't sign Bill Ramsey. He can't sign and will not sign a fake name, Larry Roan or Rohan. He will not. So what he's stuck with is what he will sign, W-I-L-L, as in William, ending with a hangman's noose. He bragged about to him how important that hangman's noose is. And John Binet had the rope, the white cord wrapped around her neck, not once, but twice, and pulled, using the grot as part of the weapon, pulled with the force that would be needed to take down a 300-pound man. In the ransom note, he mentions, whoever is the author of the ransom note mentions, that your child will be decapitated if you go against everything that we've asked you to do. Well, let me say this. He nearly did that. He nearly did that to this child because of the force that was used.
Melinda, let's use this as an opportunity to stop for a second for these messages.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're dedicated to building a bright financial future. Grow your investments with Millibank's high-yield savings account. Earn a highly competitive annual percentage yield with no fees or minimums. Getting started is simple too. Download the app, link your account, and start growing your money. Welcome to a new way to save more for the things that matter most. Welcome to Milli Bank. Visit milli.bank or download the Milli app today.
You actually talked about this garrote as well, and also what was found in the autopsy, not to get any more graphic than people's imagination already has in this case, but there was something that was consistent. People, again, have mentioned it as a broken paintbrush handle, but what was found forensically, what was found in that autopsy concerning a sliver of wood and JonBenet?
Oh my God, that poor child. There was a sliver of wood. It was a tan color. As in, remember the old-fashioned school pencils, number two, that we all used as children, and they still use them now? It was that color tan. And this sliver of wood either came from only one of two places. They claim the paintbrush handle that is broken at both ends, but they can't find the pieces. Or it came from the wooden karate training sword that was used as a weapon against JonBenet in different ways, You're mentioning one way that because it's the same color wood, it's the same tan. Unless you've seen it as I have seen it, you wouldn't know that. So she may have been, I don't even know how to do this. Just use your imagination and figure what he did with that sword. That's number one. But number two, that sword is the only thing that would have caused an 8 1/2 inch elongated V-shaped skull fracture to this child's skull. But you have to remember something. She was abducted from her bed. That's the first assault against this child. She was stun gunned in order to immobilize her. That was the second attack against this child. She was sexually assaulted. And by the way, the multiple medical examiners, coroners, have determined, according to Detective Lou Smith, that these attacks against her in her vagina wall were over a period of time because of the age of the different scarring that they could see. So I am taking this moment to say every time this man, Bill Ramsey, went to collect his funds for that year's inheritance. Is it a far stretch to think that that is not all he did to this child? Is it a far stretch? Not according to the medical examiner. There is old scarring from different periods of time in the vagina wall of this child. But that was not all. The abduction, the stun gun, the sexual assault, the ligature. Now she's dead. Please, this is the confusing moment for everybody. But I will tell you, after the ligature, there is no blood flow in her brain, in her skull area, in her head area. She is dead. Do you think that was enough for this sadistic man? No, because he cracked her over the skull. And the only thing that would cause that kind of V-shaped 8 1/2 inch elongated skull fracture is a karate wooden training sword, especially if it's only 20 to 22 inches long and is triangular in its shape. I tell you this, I can't begin to tell you how nauseous I was when they said that it was a mag flashlight or a brick, or worse yet, the wrong side of a baseball bat. Those are the three things they came up with. None of them fit the type of damage that was done to that child's skull by a karate wooden training sword. John Douglas, criminal profiler, said whoever did this, as far as just breaking the ends off what they perceived to be a paintbrush handle, was extremely strong because it's a short, not a very long paintbrush handle, short for canvas work. And he said that person had to be very strong in their wrist and in their hands. Bill Ramsey is a carver of ornate wood. The wood is half of a log. It might be anywhere from a foot to a foot and a half to 3 feet tall, but literally half of a log. And he carves the most beautiful carvings of Native American Indian men, Native American warriors, the medicine man, never women, never children. I got my hands on one of those carvings. That one was $700. In the back, if you look at the W-I-L-L with the hangman's noose, and that W and that I and those L's are all through that ransom note, especially on the last two pages where he's not so careful.
Extraordinary. You also talk about the ransom note. Very, very interesting that one letter in particular, the someone that you got to look at, this handwriting expert per se, what was so unusual about the one letter in that ransom note?
That's brilliant on your part. Absolutely brilliant. There is a letter P, like people or public, and it has a slash across it on an angle. Where you're going to see that again somewhere else is there's an old VHS tape, The Seven Deadly Sins. On the jacket of that VHS tape are listed the seven deadly sins, and there is a slash on the middle letter of each of the sins. John Douglas said, whoever does this watches movies all the time, has a lot of free time on their hands, takes some verbiage from the different movies, John Wayne, et cetera, and puts it into the ransom note, incorporates it into the ransom note. So when I took a copy of Bill Ramsey's application to the karate school and a 2.5-page ransom note, a copy of it, I took it to forensic criminologists, the cream of the crop that we have here in Ocean County, works for the state police department. And I was catching him by the grace of God as he's coming out of the building. I'm going in the building. I reported to him that a dead rat was found at my front door, but I would like him to look at something. And I showed him the two documents, the ransom note. I didn't know about that P, by the way, up until this moment. I showed him Bill Ramsey's Parkinson Bay Karate School application, the one that disappeared, but everybody forgets there were two of them. And he looked at it, and it didn't take him very long whatsoever, because he pulled out a magnifying glass that he always seems to keep in his pocket. He pulled it out. He looked at both documents, and here's his exact words. There is a letter P with a slash across it from top right down to bottom left. That is in both documents. That tells me that the author of the ransom note and the author of the application to the karate school is one in the same person, because I have never in my very long career seen that ever before. And now I am looking at two different documents with that very same unusual letter P, and they both have that slash across it. Why? Because one of the deadly sins that has that slash across it in the P is the sin of pride. There is no cure for the sin of pride. Pride is why JonBenet died, besides the fact that he didn't receive his money. Pride and jealousy, because all the other, his own words, all the other siblings get doted over, but not Bill. Not Bill. Here's your money once a year. Stay away for another year. That's where his anger came from. But not receiving it, somebody had to pay for him not coming back with that $118,000.
Yes.
JonBenet paid the bill.
Let's discuss some of your efforts that haven't brought you the results that you wanted, obviously. But you talk about the American Investigative Society of Cold Cases and Kenneth Mains, and that you were invited, and people like Henry Lee that had similar conclusions to you work as a forensic pathologist. Tell us about this American Investigative Society of Cold Cases and your meeting there.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, it should be a place of honor to be mentioned about Detective Kenneth Mains. Detective Kenneth Mains is the president and the founder of American Investigative Society of Cold Cases. He had a case. It troubled him. He could not come to a satisfactory conclusion, which was justice for the victim. He had no problem sharing that information with another detective, and they swapped cases. So that is a fresh pair of eyes on each their own case, but by another detective. That was brilliant. You don't normally see that in homicide cases. Because it worked so well that both cases had a successful resolution, what happened next is this brilliant man, Detective Kenneth Maines, he organized American Investigative Society of Cold Cases. What that is now, around the world, homicide experts, forensic experts, they are now for the first time under the wing of this courageous, very intelligent, caring man. They're coming together and they're sharing information. They're cooperating in homicide cases. Who can see that one missing puzzle that I might not have been able to see? I don't have an ego issue. I have a desire to fight for the family of the victims and their loved ones so everyone could rest in peace. Those who have taken from us wrongly, rest in peace. But their families who are aching for closure, look for this man, easy. Pull his CDL in North Carolina. You will see what he looks like these days. And then do a ping in reference to his phone number and his general contractor's phone number. Collect his DNA. It will match or it will not match. It's really that simple. But to do nothing about the least of what is left to be done, there is no logical explanation for that.
I want to thank you very much, Melinda Kula, for coming on and talking about your book, Secret Santa, My Murderer, The True JonBenet Completed Puzzle. For those that might want to take a look at, for more information about this case and this book, do you have a website and do you do any social media?
Yes, the website is JonBenet'sTrueCaseHistory.net. And I am constantly on different podcasts based on requests from people around the world.
And you have the Facebook page as well?
Yes, it's MLINDA.KULA.
I want to thank you so much, Melinda Kula, Secret Santa, My Murderer, The True JonBenet Completed Puzzle. Thank you so much for this interview, and you have a great evening and good night.
Good night, and thank you.
Thank you.